In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly King, Paraclete, Spirit of Truth, you who are everywhere present and fill all things, treasury of all that is good, Master of life, come dwell within us, cleanse us from all stain, and save our souls, O good one. Mary, cause of our joy, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're going to consider today the third Sunday in Lent in this cycle, C. And we're going to begin with it. It takes place on March 3rd. The theme of this these readings is basically repentance. And so I thought we would look, first of all, at some of the general biblical teaching about repentance, okay? The first is sort of a rhythm to acknowledge our sinfulness and to desire change. Brings about sorrow for sin and ultimately the joy of forgiveness. One of the basic words in Hebrew for repentance is shuv, which means return, come back. There is a line in Jeremiah, make me return, O Lord, and I will return. In other words, the act of returning, shuv, is a work of God. Without that work, we can't return. If he ever takes from us that grace of returning, of repenting. That's why it's very intelligent not to resist that grace when you know you have it, so that it gets deeper and deeper. One of the characteristics of the saints is that they're always repenting for their sins. And you say to yourself, and weeping over their sin, then you say, my goodness, I mean, they're giving everything to the Lord, you know, why are they always concerned about their sins? Because they see reality the way it is. They see what our offenses are and what they deserve, and they ask for mercy. There's a famous story our Lord tells, right, in the Gospel of Luke, about the two men who go up to the temple to pray, and one goes up to the front and thanks God for all his accomplishments. I pay tithes, and I pray, and I fast, and the other guy's in the way in the back. And he says, not daring to raise his eyes to heaven, he says, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus says, that one went home justified. Now, when you read that in the Gospel of Luke, try to hear the excitement in our Lord's voice when he prays, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He's so identified with that person, even though he never sinned. But he knows that that humility, that openness, that confiding of oneself to God and knowing that we have nothing is the truth. And so he's excited. Oh God, be merciful. This fellow in the back, beating his breast, not even daring to look up. You see, that's the one who goes home at rights with God. And so that's shuv. There are many texts which speak one way or another. Texts which speak of seeking the Lord. Seeking the Lord. Or fix one's heart in him. That's from 1 Samuel. Or humble oneself before him. That's from 1 Kings. Then there's the phrase, those who seek justice, seek the Lord their God. Then there are rituals of repentance. There's a very good one, Joshua 7. Then, of course, there's the famous one where David commits adultery and murder by having Bathsheba brought over to him and then having her husband come up hoping that he'll spend the night with his wife, so that if she does I think he already knows that she's conceived. It'll be his, he'll think as his child. But Uriah, either because he suspects something's up, or because he's such a simple, upright man, I won't go home and have the comfort of my wife when all my confreres, all my fellow soldiers are out in a battlefield. So he doesn't go home. So David says to, writes a note, and he has Uriah bear it himself to Joab. Put this fellow someplace where he's going to get killed. And he gets killed. And then David takes Bathsheba. And that's when Nathan tells the story about the rich man had all these sheep, and a guest comes and he goes to take the poor man's one sheep. And David says, "That man will die." Nathan says, "That man is you. Thus says the Lord, you committed adultery, you committed murder, all out of lust." So, that's the traditional place for the Chaneni Elohim Kahasteka, O Lord, be merciful to me according to your Hesed, and so forth. But you see, repentance, I sinned. It's not, well, you understand, my mother dropped me on my head when I was 2, and so I have these impulses. No, I sinned. It's that clear. And that's what makes it. Then there's the prayer for the gift of repentance, which we should say every day. Part of this one prayer is for the gift of tears. And it says briefly, "Lord, you got water out of a rock. Look at my life and get water out of my eyes, out of my heart. Let me weep for my sins." Now, what does that mean, weep for your sins? It means to be so confronted with the mercy of God that you're overwhelmed. You weep to think of the way you've sinned and the way that God has pardoned you. And you weep over your sins. When you read the lives of the saints, I'm thinking right now of Teresa of Avila. She speaks about weeping over her sins, and I thought, weeping over her sins? If she does it, what about me? And then I realized that the gift is a gift of tears. Huh? That's why you pray for it. It's a prayer in the Missal. Pray for the gift of tears. Because it means being so touched by the evil you've done and the mercy of God that you burst into tears. It's a gift. And a precious gift. And so, another way of looking at it is a broken heart. This text here in Psalm 51, you know, which starts off, "Be gracious to me, Elohim, according to your chesed, according to the greatness of your mercy, wipe away my rebellion," and so forth. And then you come down to the line, "Lev tahor, baradi Elohim, create for me a lev tahor," which is a pure heart. But it's a work of creation. The word create. Create, bahar, sorry, bara, means make something to exist which was not there before and could never be there except by God. And so, lev tahor baradi, created in me, Lord. You are the only one who can do it. And it goes on then to say, "Baruach nachon chadash b'kibi," and a nachon spirit, an upright spirit, renew in my own depths, in my kerev, in my own guts, in my own. If you don't do this, God, it won't get done. There's no way. I can get scared of my sins and run, "Oh, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me." And he will. But that's nothing. What intimacy is there? Treating God like a thing. You know, "Forgive me, forgive me, forgive me, because I don't want to go to hell." That's not the gift of tears. The gift of tears is so overwhelmed by the mercy of God that you weep for your sins. And that is a source of joy. That's why in the Beatitudes, our Lord says, blessed are the mourners. The mourners are the ones who first see their own sin and weep, but they're also the ones who see the mess the world is in. In other words, that beatitude is the one that characterizes those who intercede for the world. We have St. Faustina, the last of the saints that the Lord has raised up. Before her, there was St. Therese. Before her, there was St. Margaret Mary Alacoque. Before her, there was St. Gertrude. Notice all women, by the way. Though Padre Pio wept for his sin. It's a gift. And that's why this theme is repentance, you see? Blessed are they who mourn. Because they got the score. They understand what they've done, what the world has done, and the mess we're in. And that's the foundation for genuine intercession. Lord, be merciful to all of us, you see? That's why the angel predicts to Zechariah about his forthcoming son, John the Baptist, he will lead back numerous sons of Israel to the Lord their God, which is, as I say, the very one of the foundational words for repentance is shuv, return. Now, when that's translated into Greek, it turns out to be metania, a change of mind. Not just to change my mind, it's two and two are really four, they're not five. No, it's a change of your whole nous, your whole being. And it's the, because return might not make much sense to the Greeks, but metania, yes. And that's why when our Lord starts to preach, see, after John the Baptist was handed over, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of God and saying, the time has been fulfilled and the kingdom of God is near. Metanoite. Hear it? Repent and believe in the gospel. You can't believe in the gospel unless you are sorry for your sins. I mean, you can say, well, that's quite true and all that, but to really lay hold of the gospel means to understand who you are and how you desperately need the mercy of God, which He offers to you, and then when you see who you are regarding this act of God, you weep. How can God be so generous and so forgetful when I now understand what my sin is, you know, just to God. And now He's forgiving me. In fact, His own Son died on a cross for me. That's why repentance is the most precious gift you can get. It'll keep you in reality all of your life. And so that's the message of this gospel and of this, which we're going to read later, and of this whole Mass, is repentance. You see, to come back, to have a broken heart, and to weep. Amen. Mm-hmm.